This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Understanding Infertility. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to know why humans reproduce the way we do, where the baby grows on the inside until birth rather than hatching from an egg, you have to look at a disposable organ, the placenta. Regular Pulse contributor Avir Mitra, an emergency room physician, looked into its evolutionary history, and he enlisted the help of a friend, Kelsey Coulihan. Kelsey is a fourth-year medical student at Cooper Medical School in New Jersey. She became obsessed with placentas during her OBGYN rotation.
So I'm in the labor and delivery room, and I'm witnessing the whole miracle of birthing, you know, whatever, whatever. The baby is born. It's amazing. Then I notice there's one lonely resident at the foot of the bed who's still, like, pulling something, like massaging something out of mom's uterus. He pulls it out. He inspects it really quick and then slaps it on the table, turns his back because he has more important things to deal with. But I didn't turn my back, and I could not stop looking at this thing and just wondering, like, what actually is that thing?
That thing was the placenta.
And it looks almost like if a pancake was made out of meat, and it's got this like purple hue to it, and it looks like it should be pulsating, and it looks like it landed here from another planet.
If you picture a baby in the womb, it's sitting in a thin sack filled with amniotic fluid. The sack is made by the baby, not the mom. One part of that sack thickens and basically attaches to the mother's womb. That thicker part is the placenta. For whatever reason, this placenta needed some further inspection in the pathology lab. Most people would have followed the baby, but Kelsey decided to follow the placenta.
I think something is just wrong with me.
That's where she met Dr. Barrueta.
My name is Julieta Barrueta. I'm a pathologist at Cooper University Hospital. I have a subspecialty in gynecological pathology, so part of my daily work is to look at placentas under the microscope.
Yeah, and that's where I started to realize the placenta was even more interesting than it looked.
Well, how so?
First of all, it's the only temporary organ. Second, it's a baby's lung, it's a waste disposal system, and it's a nutrition source. Like, that's amazing.
True. Okay.
And everyone thinks the umbilical cord connects baby and mom, but actually it connects baby and placenta. The placenta is in control.
In order for the placenta to do all this amazing stuff, it has to do something that no other tissue can do. Julieta explains it like this.
The placenta is a fascinating organ that allows for two human beings that are genetically very different, because half of the fetus is going to be maternal, but the other half is going to be paternal. And yet, a pregnancy can go on for 9 months without the mom's body destroying it. And that, from an immune standpoint, is fascinating, because if you were to receive a piece of someone else and have that inserted under your skin, that would not last there for 3 days. Your body will actively reject it.
So the placenta has to be the most incredible gatekeeper. It has to let oxygen and nutrients get to the baby. It has to let carbon dioxide and waste get out. Medicines can get through. Protective antibodies can get through. But if the mother and baby ever actually touched, or if any blood got through, the mother's immune system would immediately kill the baby.
So I went home and started researching, like, where did this thing come from?
She stumbled across a paper by Ed Chung, who researches molecular cellular developmental biology at the BioFrontiers Institute in Colorado.
So basically, the placenta, we kind of think of as a defining hallmark or characteristic of live-bearing mammals, primates, rodents, dogs, cats, etc.
It's estimated that it evolved around 150 to 200 million years ago.
So before that, what were we doing exactly?
Well, if you wanted to reproduce, you had to lay an egg.
So before placentas, a baby had to be in an eggshell, literally walled off from the mom.
All the nutrients baby needed had to already be in the egg from the get-go. If you think about a chicken egg, that's exactly what the yolk is. It's a care package that has to last the embryo until it's born.
The evolution of placenta essentially involved losing that eggshell and instead replacing that with some kind of tissue or organ that attaches to the mother's uterus during development.
But losing that shell presents some challenges.
At the same time, it's important that the maternal and fetal bloodstreams remain separate. And so the separation of these bloodstreams is established through this cell layer called the syncytial trophoblast.
The syncytial trophoblast is the outermost layer of the placenta, the part that's pressed against the mom's uterus. It's literally a layer of cells that have fused together, forming a wall.
This is where the magic happens. This wall of cells keeps mom and baby working in harmony and not killing each other. There's no other structure like this anywhere else in the body.
When evolutionary biologists like Ed Chung mapped the genomes of these cells, they found something very odd.
So the protein that allowed these cells to fuse into a wall, it's called syncytin, it didn't look like it came from human DNA.
What did it look like?
It looked more like, drumroll please, HIV.
What?
Yeah, what Ed Chung told me is that this protein actually came from an ancient retrovirus, quite similar to HIV.
So you're saying our placentas are made at least kind of partially made from viral DNA?
Exactly.
Let's take a step back. Viruses are little strips of biologic information that can't do anything on their own. So they enter cells and hijack the cell's machinery to make copies of themselves and replicate and move on to infect other cells. Retroviruses take it to the next level because they are strips of DNA that enter cells and just go ahead and insert themselves into the host's own DNA. Now the host is stuck with viral DNA for the rest of its life, and it can never stop doing what the virus wants.
You know, today we have the most famous retrovirus is, of course, HIV. But retroviruses like HIV have been infecting vertebrates for probably a couple hundred million years.
So the consensus among evolutionary biologists is that once upon a time, some retrovirus infected an egg-laying vertebrate, and by chance, that virus settled into that animal's egg cells.
And it just so happened that that particular infected egg met a nice sperm and got fertilized.
The baby that was hatched, whatever kind of proto-mammal it was, now had copies of that virus's DNA in all of its cells.
Right, because if the retrovirus managed to insert itself into the first cell, it would be copied into every subsequent cell.
Yep.
The virus didn't kill the baby. If it had, we wouldn't be sitting here as humans telling the story. What it did do was give this offspring a premium feature.
So we got an upgrade, like viral status. Viruses fuse with things in order to infect them, right? So now we get this viral DNA that lets us make a protein that fuses things.
This once viral protein essentially slowly morphed or evolved into what we now know as syncytin.
So back to the proto-mammal. It contains viral DNA that codes for this syncytin protein. This protein gives the baby the ability to fuse cells into a wall. A wall that connects mom and baby but also keeps them separate.
It gives this baby the ability to create a placenta.
Basically, if this virus helped that mammalian ancestor survive better by giving it a better placenta, then this piece of DNA would have been passed on to the generation and eventually spread into the population. And in this process is essentially what we think of as a molecular domestication of an ancient retrovirus.
Wow. So the virus tried to hijack us, but we hijacked it.
Yes. But it's worth noting that this probably didn't happen overnight. This was the key step, but it probably took many more generations worth of mutations.
But still, I mean, talk about turning lemons into lemonade. And it's not just placentas. Biologists have found huge chunks of our DNA that are actually remnants of ancient viral infections. Looks like we've been domesticating viruses for a long time. Or have the viruses been domesticating us? Either way, what all that DNA is doing for us, for the most part, is still a mystery.
It just seems like, in a way, we're part virus. Otherwise, we'd be laying eggs.
Exactly. I think that is the key takeaway.
That story was reported by Avir Mitra. He's an emergency room physician in New York City and a regular Pulse contributor.